Fantasy Reality News app. Get it now.
Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and we've been going through the Bible these days. We have finished up on Leviticus, and I feel that it would be proper to continue the storyline, because it is a storyline. You know, we've read Genesis, Exodus, now we've read Leviticus, and Numbers, of course, comes after. You have Numbers, then Deuteronomy, and it is a continuing story. So I feel that the Holy Spirit, my Heavenly Father, is leading me to continue on so that we get the full effect of the story. Perhaps we're reading it somewhat like a novel, though it is the Word of God. It is also the chronicle of mankind from creation, starting with Adam and Eve, through the flood of Noah's time, through the chosen seed line, the promised seed, the seed that was promised to Adam and Eve, actually, in the very beginning. And then, of course, Abraham was chosen by Yahuwah, the creator of the universe. And then the sons of Abraham through Isaac, then Jacob, and now we have the children of Israel who make up the nation, the physical nation of God, which is supposed to be a type of the kingdom of God on earth. And we've seen throughout, beginning with Exodus and going through Leviticus, receiving the law, we see the type of government that our Heavenly Father desires for His people on earth. Of course, because of the wickedness of man, that we're all born the children of disobedience, it seems that the majority of mankind will always stray. And so that's demonstrated throughout the scripture with the physical kingdom of Israel. But He is building a spiritual kingdom, and He has been building a spiritual kingdom, a holy nation. Israel, I don't believe, was the holy nation because the majority went astray. And that's, like I said, that's just the condition of the heart of mankind being born in sin, being born with the death penalty, being born of the corrupt seed. So we're going to jump right into Numbers here and pick it up where we left off from Exodus and then Leviticus. Numbers chapter 1 and verse 1. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month in the second year. And if you remember, we read the whole book of Leviticus, and we were in the first month of the second year. So that's to give us a timeline of where we're at, and that's why I feel it's fitting, and I feel that the Holy Spirit is calling me to just continue on with the story of the children of Israel, right where we left off. So we're in the first day of the second month in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt. The tabernacle was built. They received the instruction, how the children of Israel received the instruction, how the priesthood works, how the tabernacle works, and they receive the law again, as they did in the wilderness. Only they received the sacrificial law in a codified form. And we know, if you've been with me all this time, as we've been going through Genesis, we saw that the law was from the beginning, and the law was revealed little by little from the beginning. But here, the children of Israel are giving, are in Leviticus, were given the law in its fullness, in a codified form, where everything was written down, and that there were additional laws that were needed at that time, which were not necessary, as a matter of fact. And we were talking about the laws of incest, basically. It's a bad word, and I agree, incest is a bad thing, and that's why Yahuwah gave the law to the children of Israel. Of course, the first family, being an Adam and Eve, and their children, well, they had no choice. Brothers had to marry sisters, and so forth. So families could be very close, and that was not unlawful then. It was given. So that's one point where the law developed with mankind, if we could put it that way. Okay, let's see. Numbers chapter 1, verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, and Yahuwah spoke to Moses in the wilderness, and it's the second month in the second year after they came out of the land of Egypt. And he said, verse 2, take ye the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls. So they were to count the children of Israel. And this is interesting that he has here, by the house of their fathers. Of course, their fathers were the tribes, the heads, the sons of Israel. And we'll go through that, we'll see. But who is the head of the family? That's the question. Who is the head of that clan? And this goes to family government, which we've touched on several times. But we see that in his kingdom, the kingdom principles, in his kingdom government, that family is a large part of his government. So we have family government and the head of the tribe. So take you the sum of the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies. So this was a job for Aaron and the Levites to do. The priesthood were to take and number the children of Israel, and who was able to go forth to war, everyone from 20 years old and upward, and every man, of course. And with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one head of the house of his fathers. So we see that, and we talked about this several times, how that the inheritance, okay, it's not like they practice inheritance in the pagan land that I live in America, where that when a father dies, you know, they split up and they have community property laws, and or that goes to the next of kin like that, where and they split everything up or sell it all and split it up, and everyone squanders the inheritance, and you get rich by an inheritance. That's not how it works in his, with his kingdom principles. And I believe that people who call themselves followers of Yah, or the Messiah, Jesus, Yahshua, I believe that they err in following the ways of the world and inheritance. If we have religious liberty, we don't have to practice their laws. Their laws don't apply to us. We should be practicing, and I do see some very strong families out here, very few though, that do practice something more akin to his law. But let's take a closer look here and see what we're talking about. It says, there shall be, and with you there shall be a man of every tribe. So there's one man in every tribe, every one head of the house of his fathers. So when you got the inheritance, you know, it's like Jacob and Esau. Who was going to inherit? Well, it was supposed to go to the eldest son, which would have been Esau, but he sold his birthright to the younger son, Jacob. And of course, Jacob, Israel, became the head of his father's clan, and he received the inheritance and the birthright, because that was the most important part of the inheritance, of becoming the head of the clan for Jacob, was receiving that birthright. And that was the seed the promised seed, the seed of the woman that would come through that lineage. It was what they were looking forward to, was the Messiah that would come through that seed line. And that's why when you go through the scriptures, you have the genealogies from Christ all the way back. So the genealogies are important to show us who was the Christ, or to verify that he was the promised seed of the woman that through whom the Messiah would come. And of course, the head of the family is the man, but the seed of the woman signifying that a woman would come through this lineage, through these families that would bear the Messiah, that would bear a new seed. And of course, this new seed had to be born of a woman, but it couldn't, he could not be born of a man, because the seed of the man was corrupt. And that means that everyone, that doesn't make women better than men, because women are also born of the corrupt seed, though they don't carry the corruption in their egg, as the man transmits the corruption from Adam through his seed, but it is not transmitted through the egg of the woman. Of course, a woman can't have a child without a man, without some type of miraculous intervention, which has only happened once in history, and that is where we had Yahushua was born of a new seed, of a seed created, you know, by the Heavenly Father, by His Holy Spirit, in the womb of the young virgin named Miriam, or Mary, as she is called today. So he had to be born of a woman who was of the seed of man so that he could qualify as a kinsman redeemer. But he could not be born of the seed of man because he would have been corrupt, and he would have could only qualify to pay the price for his own sin or the corruption transmitted by his fathers. Even if he had never lived a perfectly sinless life, that corruption is still transmitted through the seed of the man, and that is because the man, it is because the man is the head that the seed and the corruption is passed through the seed of man. And I'm just trying to explain why the virgin birth is necessary, and that without the virgin birth, we have no hope. There's no hope for mankind to escape death. Yes, there may be hope for a new world order, and, you know, for mortals in this world, in mankind, but not really. I mean, that's what the world hopes for. That's what the ungodly hope for, because they see their salvation in themselves for mankind as a continuing race of mortals who are born and live a short existence and then die, and they say it gets better and better. Well, I'm going to tell you why it got better and better. It has got better and better because Yahushua came and He expounded on the principles of kingdom and godly living, and those principles have been carried out, especially in the United States of America, as it was created, as the scripture typifies it, as the lamb-like beast. It incorporated lamb-like features in that beast government, and became the most blessed of all the nations on the earth, probably since the beginning of the history. But as the prophecy foretells, we see that the lamb is beginning to lose its lamb-like qualities and becoming more dragon-like all the time. So history will unfold as our Heavenly Father has revealed it to us through the prophecies of His book. But anyway, getting back, and it's easy to get carried off, as you can see, into the whole prophecy thing, because it's all intertwined in this lineage that we're talking about. And that's the whole reason that all of this is recorded, so that we can see the lineage, we can see the intent of the Heavenly Father in establishing His kingdom government in mortal men, and how it does not work and it never will work, because the majority of men will always choose disobedience over obedience because of their greed, because of the lust of the flesh, because of the cares of this life, because of the fear of other men, or whatever reason. You know, the reasons are numerous. Rather than choose to live a life of obedience to the Creator by faith, looking forward. And it's because by faith we're looking forward that we choose to live a life of obedience, because we don't want to lose the promise. We want to attach ourselves to that promise, so we choose a life of obedience. We choose to learn obedience. We don't become perfect because we are still mortals in mortal flesh, born to children of disobedience, living and breathing, born of that corrupt seed, so we can never become perfect in the flesh. We can never earn our salvation. We can never earn our part in the redemption of mankind, but it is the desire. It is volunteering and saying to our Heavenly Father, please, I repent. I change my mind. I no longer want to do what is evil. I no longer want to do what displeases you. Teach me obedience. Because I love you, because you loved me first, and you proved that by becoming a man and laying down your life for me, you proved that you love me by providing a way for me to escape the punishment of sin, to escape the mortality, and I receive it by faith. And yes, we do have to receive it by faith, because he doesn't change us now, but it pleases him to teach us patience and obedience. And these are lessons that we can only learn now in this flesh. And that's, you know, that's why, one, I want to live as long as I can, for several reasons. One, so that he can work his righteousness in me, so when the time comes that I will be the most complete man, have the most work done in me that he can possibly do in this mortal existence. Because even, he said, of the Messiah, of Yahushua, his chosen one, the man who never sinned, he said of him that he was perfected through suffering. He was matured through suffering. How much more for us, if the Messiah, the sinless Son of God, was perfected through suffering, how much more us, that we should live this mortal existence to its fullest and live as long as we can and be perfected as much as we can. I know there's an escapist mentality out there among those who call themselves Christians, and especially in the corporate circles, that, oh, I want Jesus to come today, yes, so I can get out of here. Well, you know what? It pleases the Heavenly Father to perfect us through suffering. And I believe that's somewhat arrogant to have that kind of attitude, that I want to get out of here because I want to get away from this or whatever, when he wants to work in us and he wants us to work for him. We should be thankful for every day that we live and every day that we breathe and for everything that we can do for him. He doesn't need us. Let's get that through our head first. Our Heavenly Father does not need us to do anything. He can speak anything he wants, and it's so. He's already demonstrated that by his creation. Even to today, he created it all. He breathed it all. He spoke it all into existence. Let's jump back into our text here. Okay. The sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers with the numbers of their names, every male by their polls. And my point was, before I got off on that Holy Ghost trail, I guess, was that I believe that his people should try to put into practice his law of inheritance rather than practicing the inheritance of the image out here and the governments and the kingdoms of this world. If we have religious liberty, we should be able to do that somehow, some way. From 20 years old and upward, all were able to go forth to war in Israel. Thou and Aaron shall number them by their armies, and with you there shall be a man of every tribe, every one the head of the house of his fathers. And these are the names of the men that shall stand with you, of the tribe of Reuben, Eleazar, son of Shedeur. And so this was the head of the tribe of Reuben. Of Simeon, Shulamiel, son of Zurus Shaddai. And of Judah, Nashon, son of Amminadab. Of Issachar, Nethaniel, son of Zuar. And you'll notice the names here. You were given a name by your father, and so that was your name. And to identify you, because there's probably a lot of other people out there with that name, that your last name would be son of whoever you were the son of. And that's how they named their children. Of Zebulun, Eliab, the son of Helon. And of the children of Joseph, of Ephraim, Elishama, son of Amahud, and of Manasseh, Gamaliel, son of Pedazur. Of Benjamin, Abidan, the son of Gideoni. Of Dan, Ahizer, the son of Amishaddai. Of Asher, Pagiel, son of Ocran. Of Naphtali, Ariah, son of Enan. These were the renowned of the congregation, princes of the tribes of their fathers. These were the heads of the clans, the heads of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. And Moses and Aaron took these men with, which are expressed by their names, and they assembled all the congregation together on the first day of the second month after they came out of Egypt, and they declared their pedigrees after their families by the house of their fathers according to the number of the names from 20 years old and upward by their polls. As Yahuwah commanded Moses, so he numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai. And the children of Reuben, Israel's eldest son, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, by their polls, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war. Those that were numbered of them, the tribe of Reuben, 46,500. So you have 46,500 men, 20 years and upward, who were able to go to war, so that wouldn't count those that were lame, or those that were retarded, or those that were incompetent, or those that were too elderly to go to war. So you had 46,500 men, 20 years and upward, in Israel, in the tribe of Reuben alone. So if you triple that number, you probably have something more likened to the size of this tribe. Because we're just talking about males from 20 years old and upward, you could probably quadruple that number, or maybe even more than that, if you consider that all of these families usually had big families, because that was a matter of pride, was how many children you had, because of course they believed the Word of God. They believed the Heavenly Father when He said that children were a blessing. They at least hadn't lost that, as the heathen nations did, that they were going to run out and rout out of the land before them, because they were already practicing birth control and sacrificing their children to Molech for all the same reasons that those same practices are being practiced today. Let's not kid ourselves. The intent of the heart of mankind has not changed whatsoever, at least regarding that matter. And it's easily demonstrated today. All you have to do is have your eyes open. Those that were numbered, okay, of the tribe of Simeon. Okay, of the children of Simeon, by their generations, after their families, the house of their fathers, those that were numbered them, according to the number of the names, by their polls, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, of the tribe of Simeon, 59,300. Of the children of Gad, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, of the tribe of Gad, they were numbered of them, of the tribe of Gad, 45,650. The children of Judah, those that were numbered of the tribe of Judah, 314,600. So we have 74,000. It's numbered as 315,600. Of the children of Issachar, those that were numbered of them, of the tribe of Issachar, 54,400. Those that were numbered of the tribe of Zebulun, 57,400. Those that were the children of Joseph, namely of Ephraim, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of their names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go to war, those that were numbered of them, of the tribe of Ephraim, 40,500. Of the children of Manasseh, there were 32,200. Of the children of Benjamin, by their generations, after their families, and 20 years and upward, able to go to war, of the tribe of Benjamin, were 35,400. And we'll pick up here when we get back from this short break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border, and I would like to hear from you. Stop by my website, crosstheborder.org, and send me an email.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive that the entire world could be taken in by it? Working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time and prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy, both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come. God's express word is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today. Secrets of the Rapture, Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism, by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at lulu.com and Amazon. Secrets of the Rapture.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Border, and we have begun our study in the book of Numbers, And it really, 1 month later, after the book of Leviticus, and I'm talking about the timeline for the children of Israel, because the instruction in Leviticus, as we see, was 1 year, the first month, in the second year, after they'd come out of Egypt, and we get here in Numbers, it's the second month, the first day of the second month, after the children of Israel come out of Egypt, that Yahuwah, our Heavenly Father, the Creator, tells Moses to take Aaron, or the Levites, the priests, and to number the children of Israel, all those who are able to go to war. And that's what we're in the middle of, the numbering of the children of Israel. And we left off at Numbers 1:36 of the children of Benjamin. And we found that there were 35,400 of the tribe of Benjamin that were able to go to war. Of the children of Dan, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the numbers, number of their names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, that those that were numbered of them, of the tribe of Dan, 62,700. So we have 62,700 men, 20 years upward, and able to go to war. And like I said, so that gives you an idea of the tribes, maybe 3 to 5 times, if you're counting men, women, and all men, women, and children in those tribes. It gives you a good idea that we're talking a good, huge number of people here, 1 year and 2 months after they came out of the land of Egypt. So it's quite a horde of people that came out of Egypt. Of the children of Jasher, those that were numbered of them, of the tribe of Jasher, 40,500. The children of Naphtali, and I've got to scroll down here because I'm using my e-sword, of course. Okay, Naphtali, 50,400. These are those that were numbered, which Moses and Aaron numbered, and the princes of Israel, being 12 men, each one was for the house of his fathers. So were all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers from 20 years old and upward. And of course we all know that they were 480 years, something like that. I forget the exact number of years that they were in Egypt, that the children of Israel entered into Egypt. And of course, Joseph was already there when they entered into Egypt. So we have the number of them for how much these people grew in all these years. So he says, even all they that were numbered were 600,003,550. So we have 600,003,550 men, 20 years and upward, who were able to go to war. So this is the army. This is the militia, if we want to put it in a contemporary term. This is the militia of Israel. But the Levites, after their tribe of their fathers, was not numbered among them, for Yahuwah had spoken unto Moses, saying, only thou shalt not number of the tribe of Levi, neither take the sum of them among the children of Israel. But thou shalt appoint the Levites over the tabernacle, the testimony, and over all the vessels thereof, and over all the things that belong to it. They shall bear the tabernacle and all the vessels thereof. They shall minister unto it, and they shall encamp round about the tabernacle. And when the tabernacle setteth forward, the Levites shall take it down. And when the tabernacle is pitched, the Levites shall set it up. And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard. And of course, the standard was the standard of their tribe throughout their hosts. But the Levites shall pitch round about the tabernacle of testimony, that there be the charge of the tabernacle, that there be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel, and the Levites shall keep the charge of the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel did according to all that Yahuwah commanded Moses, so did they. Numbers chapter 2. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch his own standard with the ensign of their father's house, far off about the tabernacle of the congregation shall they pitch. I mean, you're talking about hundreds of thousands of people for each tribe. Because if they had 60 to 70, you know, or 30, 40, 50, 60, 70,000 plus men 20 years and upward able to go to war of each tribe, then we're talking about a great number of people. So each tribe would have up to, you know, possibly 4-5 times the number of people that they had men able to go to war 20 years and upward. We can only guesstimate because we're not given a number of every man, woman, and child. On the east side toward the rising of the sun, they shall the standard of the camp of Judah pitch. So Judah on the east throughout her armies, and Nashon the son of Amminadab shall be captain of the children of Judah. So he was the head honcho. He was the patriarch of Judah. This was the man who received the inheritance down through the family of Judah. He became the head of that tribe as it was handed off from generation to generation. And that's what the inheritance and the birthright was in Judah. Could we practice this as followers of Yahushua or so-called Christians today? Well, I only wish. But, you know, that's what they, you know, what they teach in the corporate church, that the law is dead. So we don't have to do that. Now we can practice what the heathen practice. Oh, wonderful. Yeah, well, that's what we want to do. We want to practice what the heathen practice, because we're free from the law. Jesus nailed it to the cross. We don't have to do that heavy burden anymore. Well, I'll tell you what, I love the law of God. I'll tell you, the heavy burden is the law of man. That's the heavy burden. And they pay men up there millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars these men pull down in salaries a year. And they've got hundreds of them up there. And all they do all year long is think up new laws to pass, to lay a heavy burden on the people of the land. And the burden gets heavier and heavier because they just keep passing more and more laws. And, you know, you probably don't know anyone that isn't a criminal. That's right. They pass so many laws that everybody has to break one without even knowing what it is. Ignorance is a law. It's no excuse. How can you know it all? It's a heavy burden. I'll tell you what, I've got a book here, and it's in my e-sword, but I also have a book. I've got a King James Version Bible, and I've read the whole thing. I can hold it in my hand, and I can know it, and I can tell you what, it's not a heavy burden. That's a lie that the corporate preachers tell you because they're in bed with the state. They've got something to protect. They've got their buildings, which belong to the state. They've got their congregations, they've got their money, their tax-deductible donations coming in every week. They've got their pensions, they've got their salaries, they've got their medical plans. That's what they're protecting, and that's why they lie to you, or why they've been taught to lie to you, because some of them don't even know they're lying. They're so ignorant. They don't crack the book, they don't really rightly discern the Word of God. They have an appearance of godliness, but they do deny the power thereof because their power is in the state. Yes, we should have a reverence for His word and His law rather than the laws of men. And these liars, preachers, hypocrites. Okay, Numbers 2, 4. And the hosts, those that were numbered, were 314,600. Okay, that's Judah. I guess there were a lot of repetition in the Old Testament as we go through these books. Because we're in chapter 2 now. And, those that do pitch next to him shall be Issachar. So he's laying out what tribe goes where? Judah is to the east of the tabernacle, and I guess they're going to go around. Those that do pitch next to him shall be the tribe of Issachar. And Nethaneel, the son of Zuar, shall be the captain of the tribe of Issachar. Now these are all the same captains, the same patriarchs of those tribes that we covered in the other chapter. The first one, they were numbering, they named the captains or the heads of the clans, and they numbered them, and now he's telling them where to set up camp about, so that the tabernacle was in the center, and Judah goes to the east and sets up far out from the tabernacle, and then the children of Israel are circled about the tabernacle, and that's pretty much what we have here. So we have the tribe of Judah, and then the tribe of Zebulun, or Issachar, Zebulun, the tribe of Zebulun, Elab, the son of Helon, the captain of the children of Zebulun, and his host, that those that were numbered were 57,400. All that were numbered in the camp of Judah were 100,000, and 80,600, and 400 throughout their armies. These shall first set forth, and on the south side shall be the standard of the camp of Reuben according to their armies. And the captain of the children of Reuben, Elizur, the son of Shudar, and his hosts, and those that were numbered thereof were 46,500, and those that pitched by him. So we're going from the east, and next to him, and then he's going by the south, saying that it will be Zebulun, or Judah. Anyway, could probably draw out a map how it was to work, but I don't think it's that important. You get the idea what's going on here. So then we have Reuben, Simeon, and all the numbers are repeated. So I'm going to kind of go through this if you want to read all the numbers again. And who was set up where? We have Gad, of course, and it goes through all. Ephraim, and it tells you how they were set up around the Levites, around Aaron and his sons, who were in the center. And it gets all the way to Benjamin, and those that Dan, Naphtali, and it finally ends up, it says, all that they were numbered of the camp of Dan. These are those which were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers, all that were numbered of the camps throughout their host, 600,350. And we know from the previous chapter that that number was those that were 20 years upward males and able to go to war. But the Levites were not numbered among the children of Israel, as Yahuwah commanded Moses, and the children of Israel did according to all that Yahuwah commanded Moses. And so they pitched by their standards, and so they set forward every one after their families according to the house of their fathers. So this is the instruction that they received, how to set up the camp, how to set up this moving nation. These also are the generations of Aaron and Moses in the day that Yahuwah spoke with Moses in Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab, the firstborn, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar. These are the sons of the sons of Aaron, the priests, which were anointed, whom he consecrated to minister in the priest's office. And Nadab and Abihu died before Yahuwah when they offered strange fire. And we talked about that a few weeks ago when we were in the middle of the book of Leviticus. They offered strange fire. So we got to be careful. We don't want to be offering strange fire. And what is strange fire? Well, it's making an offering or following instruction that does not come from our Heavenly Father. And I'm telling you, in the corporate churches, there's a lot of strange fire going on. I see it all the time. Strange fire. Christmas, strange fire. Ishtar, strange fire. Just a lot of stuff going on that is not authorized by the word of our Heavenly Father. Fortunately, people are not being struck dead. I mean, if people were being struck dead today for offering strange fire in the congregation, there'd be a lot of people dying. Many people. They'd be falling like flies. I'll tell you what, they'd stop offering strange fire in a hurry if the same standard was held to them. Of course, I don't believe for a minute that this congregation, that the congregation of the corporate church is anything authorized by our Heavenly Father. That His Spirit can work there is only because His Word may be there. And that's the only reason. I mean, His Word can work in a prison. His Word can work in a brothel. His Word can work anywhere because it is His Word. Okay, Nadab and Abihu died before Yahuwah when they offered strange fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. And Eleazar and Ithamar ministered in the priest's office in the sight of Aaron and their father. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near, and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may minister unto him. And they shall keep his charge, and the charge of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of the congregation to do the service of the tabernacle. And they shall keep all the instruments of the tabernacle of the congregation and the charge of the children of Israel to do the service of the tabernacle. And thou shalt give the Levites unto Aaron and to his sons. They are holy, given unto him out of the children of Israel. And thou shalt appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall wait upon the priest, their priest's office, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. So you get the idea that no one that is unauthorized is supposed to minister in the tabernacle. And even if you're authorized to minister in the tabernacle, you better not be offering strange fire. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, and I, behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of all the firstborn that openeth the matrix among the children of Israel, therefore the Levites shall be mine. So he's saying, instead of the firstborn that openeth the matrix. And of course, the matrix is the womb. The first one that opens the matrix is, of course, the firstborn. And he says, I've taken the Levites, instead they shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine, for on the day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast, mine shall they be, I am Yahuwah. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, number the children of Levi after the house of their fathers by their families, every male from a month old and upward, you shall number them. And Moses numbered them according to the word of Yahuwah, as he was commanded. And these were the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon, Kohath, Merari. And these are the names of the sons of Gershon by their families, Libni, and Shimei, the sons of Kohath by their families, Amram, and Izhar, Hebron, and Uziel, and the sons of Merari by their families, Mahli, and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites according to the house of their fathers. So Gershon was the family of the Libnites, or the family of the Shimeites. These are the families of the Gershonites, and those that were numbered of them, according to the number of all the males from a month old and upward, even those that were numbered of them were 7,500. And the families of the Gershonites shall pitch behind the tabernacle westward. And the chief house of the father of the Gershonites shall, Eliasaph, the son of Lael, and the charge of the sons of Gershon in the tabernacle, the congregation shall be the tabernacle and the tent, the covering thereof, and the hanging of the door, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hangings of the court, and the curtain, and the door for the court, which by the tabernacle and by the altar round about, and the cords of it for all the service thereof. So now the Levites and their families are getting their marching orders of which part of the tabernacle that they're supposed to take charge of when it comes time to move it, to erect it, to maintain it, and those things. So that's the instruction that Moses is getting now for the children of Israel. And they were in the second month of the second year after the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And Kohath was the family of the Amramites, and the family of the Ezaharites, and the family of the Hebronites, and the family of the Uzielites. These are the families of the Kohathites. And the number of all the males from a month old and upward, 8,600, keeping charge of the sanctuary. The families of the sons of Kohath shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle southward. And the chief of the house of their families and the families of the Kohathites shall be Elizaphan, the son of Uziel. And their charge shall be the ark, the table, the candlestick, the altars, the vessels, the sanctuary wherewith they minister, and the hanging, and all the service thereof. So we see here that this nation is set up with the tabernacle in the center, and around the tabernacle are set up the priests who minister in the tabernacle with their families, and then further out were all of the tribes of Israel in their place. And it goes on, Numbers 3:32, and Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, shall be chief over the chief of the Levites, and have oversight of them that keep the charge of the sanctuary. Of Merari, the family of the Mahalites, the family of the Mushites, these are the families of Merari. And those that were numbered of them, according to the number of all the males, from a month old and upward, were 6,200. And the chief of the house of the fathers of the families of Merari was Zuriel, the son of Abihail. These shall pitch on the side of the tabernacle northward, and under the custody of the charge of the sons of Merari shall be the boards of the tabernacle, and the bars thereof, and the pillars thereof, and the sockets thereof, and all the vessels thereof, and all the service thereunto, and the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets, and their pins, and their cords. But those that encamp before the tabernacle toward the east, even before the tabernacle of the congregation eastward, shall be Moses and Aaron and his sons, keeping the charge of the sanctuary for the charge of the children of Israel, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. All that were numbered of the Levites, which Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of Yahuwah throughout their families, all the males from a month old and upward were 20,200. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. And we'll pick up here when we get back.
Years ahead of the dominant media, FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Must care.